You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast for Tuesday, July 28th, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I am your host, John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. This is our second podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to us. And also joining us via the Chevy Trucks Hotline, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. He'll be in Bourbonnais covering Bears camp. Arthur, how are you today?
Doing well, ready to talk a little fantasy football, and even more so excited that things are finally getting underway this week with training camps opening league-wide. It's certainly time for football, starting to get that feeling again.
Yeah, it really is. I think you and I are both Cubs fans. I think we've had baseball kind of distracting us a little bit for the first time in a couple of years, but man, with football being here, I'm really excited for it. It's kind of snuck up on me a little bit, but I'm excited. For you listeners, the format of the show, we break it up into two parts. We start with season-long fantasy and then move into daily fantasy sports or DFS. But we're going to start with season long. Arthur, we got some news and notes this week. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson showed up to training camp, says his goal is 2,500 yards. That would be an NFL record by almost 400 yards. he almost got Eric Dickerson's 1984 record of 2,105 yards in 2012 when Peterson ran for 2,097. What do you think of that goal?
Well, it's certainly ambitious, and anyone who is followed Adrian Peterson's career knows that he is not shy about making these major goals. And if there's anyone in the NFL that we've learned not to doubt over time, given what he did in that 2,100 yard season, or just short of it, excuse me, but when he was gunning for Dickerson's record 3 years ago, of course, that was, mere, I think, 10 months removed from ACL surgery. So everyone had kind of buried him that year. And then he comes out with this MVP caliber season. So conventional wisdom says don't doubt Adrian Peterson. And with that being said, there's absolutely no way he's getting anywhere near 2,500 yards this season. We talked about it last week. I'm super high on the Vikings offense. I'm really trying to buy anything I can in that offense. And Norv Turner, I think, is going to be the perfect person for Adrian Peterson. He has a track record for running his backs into the ground, which is good if you're a Peterson owner. But come on, we're talking about an extra 25 yards per game over that record-setting season he had 3 years ago. He's a year removed from the game, obviously, with all the messy stuff off the field last year. So I think he's going to have an outstanding season. I think he can make a very strong case for him being the number one overall pick. But I think 2,500 yards is a little ridiculous.
I think so, too. He's still the first running back off the board for me. But I'll give you a quote from Mike Zimmer, the quote from yesterday's training camp. Quote, he'll get as much as he can take. I was a little bit worried about Jerick McKinnon maybe taking a few carries because I thought he did pretty well last year. But it looks like maybe not. What do you think?
Well, I like Jerick McKinnon. I think he should have a nice future if he continues to develop. Obviously, a converted college quarterback has very little running back experience under his belt. Not surprised to hear Mike Zimmer say that. Again, Norv Turner has made everyone from Emmitt Smith to Lamont Jordan have career years under him. So he has a track record for feeding them and feeding them some more. Peterson last week just got a little was thrown a bone by the Vikings organization. They restructured his contract to give him more guaranteed money beyond the $12.5 million I think he gets this season. So they're going to feed him. That part doesn't surprise me, but you have to remember they're also talking about increasing his pass game responsibilities. It's maybe the one ordinary part of his game in seasons past, and they're going to be working on that this year. But does that eat into the carries a little bit? It's just hard to envision a 30-year-old back. Again, he is the guy that I would think would kind of defy logic here, but too many unknowns. And, it's not to say he wouldn't have a sensational season if he gets, 1,700 total yards and 15 touchdowns. That would probably be worth the first overall pick. But he just has his goals so high here that it's pretty hard to get behind, I feel.
Yeah, I think he could be a PPR monster this year. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect 40 catches out of Peterson.
No, I don't either. It should be a really good situation for him. And we talked about a little bit last week. people weren't tuning in, the addition of Mike Wallace, a healthy Kyle Rudolph, those are the kind of guys that are going to stretch the field and make defenses be honest all over the field and really open up the intermediate parts for Peterson. So, yeah, I could see a lot of dump-offs in his direction, especially with a young quarterback who's really trying to protect the football and you know, and make sure he's very efficient. So, yeah, at least 40 receptions is definitely within reach for Peterson. And, of course, it all starts with staying healthy. So you hope that the year away actually could be to his advantage, but we'll just have to wait and see how he's looking as this offseason continues to progress.
All right, moving on to another running back. St. Louis running back Todd Gurley could be back before week 6. Nick Wagner reports he could avoid the PUP list. Arthur, we're both Mizzou alums. We saw Gurley run over the SEC for the past couple of years. If Gurley isn't on the PUP list, what do you do with him?
Well, you know, I guess this would give his value a little bit of an uptick because there was the strong possibility coming off the knee issues that he would be out for the first roughly half the season. But they're saying that that is no longer an obvious option. So, you know, maybe you draft him a little bit sooner if you're high on Todd Gurley. I am, and I think this is exciting news. But I don't think it changes the fact that this is a perfect opportunity to handcuff. You got Trey Mason there. The guy's hungry. He's coming off what we thought was an impressive rookie season, and suddenly he is looking like he could be an afterthought in St. Louis. However, that won't be the case, at least to begin the season. So if you like Todd Gurley, go out and get him. You spend your mid-round, your early to mid-round pick on Gurley, but just make sure you handcuff him with Mason because he proved to be capable with really no offensive line or passing game last year, and the people in St. Louis are of the belief that both of those areas are going to be much improved.
Yeah, I think Gurley right now is probably a sixth or seventh round pick for me. How about you?
I would say right in the same vicinity. If he doesn't have the injury, he is the first rookie back coming off the board. I don't have the ADPs in front of me. I'll do that once we get rolling here. I'm not even sure. I guess Melvin Gordon is probably going to go a little bit higher, but you have concerns there because he's in an offense in San Diego where they really like to share the wealth, and I think Danny Woodhead will be a player there. I don't think they've fully forgotten about what Brandon Oliver and Donald Brown have done at times. St. Louis is more of the belief under Jeff Fisher that if they've got one guy they can ride, sort of like we were just talking about with Norv Turner, they're going to do so. So I think the long-term outlook for Gurley is even better than Gordon, another kid I like a lot. But yeah, I think round 6 or 7 sounds about right. Remember, rookie running backs don't have the same struggles historically getting into the groove in fantasy as maybe some other positions.
All right, moving on, and I need to preface this by saying we are taping this a Tuesday at around 9:30 in the morning. Tom Brady, I don't think he's going to miss 4 games. News could break any time on what exactly his suspension is going to be, whether it's going to be reduced or not. What do you do with Tom Brady at this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't have a great answer. I guess you could even throw Le'Veon Bell into the conversation, too. Obviously, similar circumstances with the suspension to begin the season. As you mentioned, Brady, as we tape here today, has a 4-game suspension that would have him missing Pittsburgh, Jaguars, and trips to Buffalo and Dallas. So you got one really good defense there in Buffalo where you might think Brady would struggle a little bit, but the other 3 games, obviously, you'd love to have him. I just don't know. I'm out of the business of trying to predict what Roger Goodell is going to do. Most are of the belief that the suspension is going to at least be cut down to 2, if not eliminated altogether. But I don't know that I believe that as strongly. I think Goodell finds every way he can to screw things up, and I think this is turning into a pissing contest. He's digging his heels in a little bit. So I don't know what to say. What do you think? What do you do with Tom Brady?
I think he's still a top 10 quarterback for me. I don't think he's going to see 4 games at all. I think it's going to be reduced, if not eliminated completely. Even missing 2 games with Tom Brady, I still think that's a top 10 quarterback. Maybe not, number 5 or number 6, but if 8 quarterbacks are off the board, yeah, I'm strongly considering Tom Brady at that point.
I think you're probably right about that. We have to remember last season, everyone was looking to sell Tom Brady around, the halfway point of the season because he was having unusual struggles. And, of course, people will remember the way he turned it on down the stretch. So, no, he wasn't suspended, but he was kind of useless there for a few games. And I think things still evened out in the end. He did rise to the top or near the top of fantasy performance for quarterbacks. So probably the kind of guy you got to roll with, like you said.
It helps when you get to play the Bears defense.
It sure does. There's no doubt about that.
Moving on, Pittsburgh wide receiver Martavis Bryant, that he now weighs 225 pounds with 4% body fat. Do you love him even more now after that?
I guess so. I mean, I don't make too much of that stuff, but it certainly all sounds nice. I'll tell you what, this kid, in three starts, the big mystery is what took so long to get him in the lineup last year. But in three starts, he has 8 touchdowns and almost 600 receiving yards. So I think he has solidified himself as a, and of course, you want to see him do it again. I'm not pretending like he's the kind of guy you plug in and don't worry about. But you saw the makings of a serious fantasy commodity. So you're talking about, you know, the body fat and him being in even better shape. Well, I'm just looking at the numbers here. The kid averaged over 21 yards a catch last year. So, you know, I don't think the speed was an issue. It didn't seem like he appeared to be dragging. But, gosh, if he's going to be even more dynamic and even more explosive this year, I don't know how you don't love him more. That's another offense. There's a lot of reasons to be really excited about with Roethlisberger, the engine there, and all these awesome options for him.
Yeah, I think he's everybody's sleeper. He's a massive target. His snap percentage went up as the season went along. I think if you're drafting this week, you could probably get him in the 5th or 6th round, maybe as a wide receiver too. I think if this hype keeps up, he's going to find himself in the 4th round in most drafts. And you know what? I still like him there.
Yeah, I don't think I have a problem either. And again, we preface it by saying you'd like to see a little bigger sample size, obviously. But yeah, it's just such a great situation. He's got maybe the best back in the game once Le'Veon Bell gets back. And you've got, you know, arguably the best wide receiver in the game lining up opposite him in Antonio Brown. So there are going to be some golden opportunities. It's becoming one of those offenses where I don't know who you look to stop. So yeah, exciting kid. We'll see if he can build off what he did last year. But that draft area does sound okay. I don't think it would be too rich for me. And you know, the real question, I wonder what happens to Sammy Coates. That's the rookie coming in from Auburn, another kid I liked a lot, a guy I actually hoped the Bears would look at, you know, obviously after or before they went with Kevin White at number 7, but sort of a similar type of guy to Martavis, a real height, weight, speed prospect. So he's going to be buried for a while, I would imagine, but someone to keep an eye on down the road perhaps.
Yeah, and our next, we're moving on. It's more of a keeper league type question and probably a pretty short one. The Cleveland Browns aren't guaranteeing that Josh McCown is going to start, and Johnny Manziel is still number 2, according to multiple reports. I'm still avoiding all Browns QBs, but if you're in a keeper league and took Manziel like I did last year in like the 14th round, I'm not holding on to him. How about you?
No, not close. I'm avoiding all Browns quarterbacks. I'm avoiding all Browns games on TV this year. I'm avoiding all Browns discussion wherever I can, because that's such a ridiculous franchise. But in all seriousness, no, I think Johnny Manziel is way too big of a wild card. And obviously, you have some tough decisions in keeper type leagues. And you know, if you drafted him really late, I suppose it's not as much of a risk. But if you're keeping Johnny Manziel, I think that says as much about the rest of your team and the other options you have to choose from as anything, because he has just shown absolutely nothing to lead us to believe that, you know, let's just talk strictly on the field. He got his chance late in the season and looked totally lost. And then you add in all the party boy stuff and all the volatility. And, you know, he's a guy I'm steering clear of. He's one of those guys I'll believe it when I see it, and probably have to see it repeatedly before I believe it.
Arthur, it just sounds like you're just avoiding Cleveland, which is not a bad decision.
And let me apologize to our colleagues, Dan McCaleb and Nate Atkins. It's nothing personal, I assure you. I'm really having more fun than anything. But you just have to wonder what exactly is going on with that franchise. It seems at times like they appear to be getting a clue and then always seem to take a step back. So, of course, I'm just having fun. But you look at that wide receiver core and you tell me who jumps out at you in a positive light.
Nobody, absolutely nobody.
Exactly.
All right.
Perhaps buy stock in the backfield options. I guess that would be the extent of it. They got a couple horses they're going to look to ride.
I'm not even sure I'm touching that.
Yeah.
All right, last news and note. We opened with news on a 2,000-yard rusher. We're going to close with news on another former one. Chris Johnson's rep has been in contact with Dallas, according to NFL.com's Rand Gatlin. Do we care? Does it hurt Randall or McFadden if they get enamored with CJ1K?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big if, but I think absolutely it could, it has the potential to. I mean, this is, you know, this story has legs, but it's very early on, so it's something you'll have to monitor. You know, Darren McFadden is, he is what he is at this point, I believe. He's a guy you cannot count on to stay on the field, and even when he's on it, he's only shown fleeting glimpses in recent seasons. So Joseph Randall has provided a bit more excitement, but he's one of those guys where you need to see it over a much larger sample size before you're going to get treated really excited. And as you said at the top, Chris Johnson, yes, he's several years removed, but he does have the 2,000-yard season under his belt. He did have a number of 1,000-yard seasons under his belt. So it's been a while, but it could be a unique situation. Everyone talks about the Dallas offensive line, and perhaps that's just what CJ needs. He's not a guy I'd be super high on. But yes, if he did join the fray, I think you'd have to monitor it a lot more closely. And some of the guys who are super excited about Joseph Randle would probably have to temper those expectations a little bit.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that's super excited on Randle. I hope this is just a training camp rumor that goes away. It does concern me if it persists, because that might mean that the Cowboys staff isn't really enamored with Randle and McFadden, and I'm high on Randle this year, so I hope this thing just kind of goes away.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. It is a fluid situation, and just to reiterate, it's been quite a while since Chris Johnson has provided any significant amount of excitement with what he's doing out of the backfield. But Joseph Randle, I think as much of the excitement as anything is how they're going to keep him out of jail. So if they're enamored, if the Dallas coaching staff is enamored with him, I guess I'm not surprised, because it seems like that's about half their roster right now is guys that you just absolutely cannot predict. But Randall's going to have to keep his nose clean off the field, as well as worry about unseating Darren McFadden and or Chris Johnson on it.
Definitely. All right, we're going to move on to average draft position. We did this last podcast. We're going off of a 10-team standard draft in Yahoo. We're going to give the average draft position for a couple of guys and debate whether they're too high, too low, or just right. We're going to do three guys, and two of them are Bears. We'll start with the non-Bear, Peyton Manning, going number 34 overall. That's mid-fourth quarterback off the board. Too high, too low, just right?
I guess my dog in the background has a serious exception to it. I apologize if you guys heard that ruckus. I'll tell you, I think Peyton Manning is the fourth quarterback off the board. Sounds about right. That's where I have him slotted. I think going off the board in the middle of the fourth round, though, for me would be a little bit too early, but that's just because I'm thinking I'm going to kind of pull back on my quarterback excitement in terms of, unless I have a great shot at an Aaron Rodgers or an Andrew Luck, late in round two, which I know isn't happening. I think I'm going to let the board fall to me a little bit this year. I got burned a little bit by reaching on quarterbacks last year, and I just think you got to lock up the running backs. That's the approach I'm going to take. But I do think that the rumors of Peyton Manning's demise, if he is healthy, are greatly exaggerated. I think he's going to have another big year. I just don't think I'm going quarterback that early unless it's one of the MVPs, Rodgers or Luck.
I'm with you. I'm not taking a quarterback that early. And Manning last year, it kind of concerned me, and I'm not taking that high of a risk on a guy that has a little bit of concern like Manning. We've got two Bears now. We're going to start with Matt Forte, going number 11 overall, beginning of the second round, sixth running back off the board. Too high, too low, just right.
I'd say just right. Yeah, I think you got the big five that are going to be, arguably the top five picks, the top fantasy running backs, and then it gets a little more murky. But Matt Forte entering a terrific situation with John Fox and Adam Gase. They want to run the football. They want to try and hide Jay Cutler, and there's no better way to do it than to get Forte his 300 carries this year. So I do think that's going to happen, and I expect the offensive line to be improved in Chicago. I expect, like I said, the running game to be a much greater emphasis, and I expect Matt Forte to be hungry. He obviously wanted a new deal this offseason. The Bears weren't willing to oblige, and now he's one of those guys approaching 30 and looking for that one more big deal, and Forte, with his legendary conditioning, is a guy I've learned not to doubt. So yeah, I expect a big year, and I think that's probably the right real estate for him. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's just about right. I'll make one exception. If you're in a PPR league, Matt Forte is not catching as many balls this year.
Right.
There's no way. He's just Mark Trestman and Cutler with all the dump offs in last year's offense. It's not going to happen this year, especially if you watched Adam Gase's offense in Denver. They're not going to throw to Forte as much as they did this year. So if you're in a PPR league, you might want to take Forte down just a couple of pegs.
Very good call, definitely. I think it was almost funny. It was like it got to a point there was nothing else to get excited for late last season for the Bears, so it seemed like that almost became their number one priority, is some of these trivial Forte dump-offs. And not to lessen his record, it was pretty cool that he did that, but it was sort of a weird feeling for Bears fans, as I'm sure you know, John.
Absolutely. Last guy on our ADP list today is Alshon Jeffrey, going number 23, beginning of the third round, eighth wide receiver off the board. Too high, too low, or just right?
It might be a little high for me. I think last year he was the number 11 fantasy wide receiver score. And obviously had Brandon Marshall at least for half the season. I know they were both hobbled, but You know, I don't think it's far off. I think it's such a deep group of wide receivers. There may be a couple other guys I'd be a little more excited about. I'm still curious to see how the, you know, his role as the number one sort of matures and how the presence of Kevin White and Eddie Royal affect that. And again, we're going from a pass first offense to a run first offense. So while I do expect big things for Alshon, I think closer to, you know, number 10 wide receiver off the board. Again, we're kind of talking semantics here, but it might be just the tiniest bit high for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in a wait and see mode on Alshon and really anybody else in the Bears offense. I want to see a couple of preseason games before I want him that high. He may be the right spot by the end of the season. That may be perfect for him, but as of right now, that's maybe a round too high for me.
Okay.
All right, we're going to switch over to DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports. If you missed our first podcast, our mission here is to make, you know, DFS, FanDuel, DraftKings, and the really 10 other sites we could talk about, but those are the big two. Just make it a little less scary. There was no really big DFS news this week, so we're going to do a little bit of a glossary review. If you go to chicagofootball.com, under the Fantasy tab, we've got a glossary of DFS terms. If you have played FanDuel or DraftKings, or if you're just logging on, or if you're doing any sort of research, you're going to see a whole bunch of terms out there that you're not familiar with or you think you know, and maybe you don't. So I want to go over two today, and it's types of games, and it's cash games versus tournaments. And really, the main point that I want to make is when you are starting off with something like this, don't go broke within the first week. If you're going to deposit $25, you want that to last a little bit. This is fun, but it also is a way to maybe make a little money. But you don't want to invest all of that in just like one tournament to try and win $1 million in 1 week. You're going to go broke very quickly doing that. So you want to spread out your games, and you want to play some cash games. And types of cash games, the main two I talk about are head-to-head and 50-50s. Head-to-head, our glossary definition, it's the safest version of a cash game. Entrants face each other in a one-on-one contest. It's considered the safest because even a poor lineup is capable of cashing. If you decide you're going to roster Jay Cutler and he throws three interceptions, if you're in a tournament, you're not going to win any sort of money whatsoever. But if you're in a head-to-head, you could still possibly win. So it's a safe game. It's a way to build your bankroll. I strongly suggest playing some head-to-head games to start off. And the other is a 50-50, a league in which the top 50% of the entrants are paid. It's typically a little less than double the entry fee, and the bottom 50% don't cash. 50-50 leagues aren't as safe as head-to-head leagues because a bad lineup can still win head-to-head, but they are safer than tournaments. Arthur, did you play many cash games or tournaments last year?
You know, I think I was more in the cash game field, as you had mentioned. I don't love losing. truth be told, I'm not a big gambler because I hate the losing a lot more than I like the winning. But yeah, I think the cash games, as you mentioned, are a little safer. I mean, if I understand correctly, it's really just about improving or increasing your odds as much as possible. You're either going to be in a pool against one guy, or you're going to be out there against a bunch of guys who consider themselves ringers, and therefore you could have a little tougher time. And obviously, like you said, you know, if you're just going up against one roster versus other, you know, supposed experts who are fielding all kinds of rosters, I think that, at least as near as I can tell, is the big difference, right?
Yeah, and the higher risk tournaments, the GPPs, it's a guaranteed prize pool. The prizes are guaranteed no matter if the contest fills or not. It's often substituted with the term tournament. GPPs typically have a high amount of prize money, and about the top 10% get paid. FanDuel's Sunday Million, DraftKings Millionaire Maker Tournament are example of GPPs. You want to limit your exposure to that, but if you're going to play a cash game, always just throw one into a GPP. You never really know. It may be the one that that hits and you get some big money. The other one I want to talk about is a qualifier. It's a tournament where the winner or winners come away with a ticket to another large contest, typically a GPP. The payout structure is similar to a GPP, but again, it's a way to not spend a lot of money to get into a much bigger contest. So if you're going to play a GPP, a qualifier might not be the worst way to go.
And I think the moral of the story here is that you need to get to our website, chicagofootball.com. John Solly, the author of this glossary, really has laid it out perfectly for you here. So I think the first step to getting comfortable with these daily games is understanding what you're getting into. That would be one of the best ways to eliminate any kind of fear you have going in. And I just can't say enough good things about the way John's laid it out here. I know I learned a ton just by editing and getting this story up on our site last week. And it's such a great introduction to what is such an exciting new element of fantasy football that's sure to continue growing this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to explode, and that's very kind of you. And again, we hope to get some DFS experts on some future podcasts to help you out a little bit with this. That'll be it for today's podcast. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com for fantasy experts, and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared for your drafts and help you win throughout the season. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, where you can find your Chevy summer bonus tag and choose your deal on a new Silverado. Visit ChevyDrivesChicago.com today. Big thanks to Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. Our associate producer was Jason Frommer. I'm John Solly. For all of us at Chicago Football, hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.